RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews The House with a Clock in Its Walls, now playing in area theaters.
The House with a Clock in Its Walls transports you back in time twice through two different mechanisms. The first, and most obvious, is the story is set in 1955, complete with vintage cars, clothing, and the town square. Second, the filmmakers want to take you to 1980s era film. The movie begins with the old Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment logos. You remember Amblin? Spielberg Studio brought you E.T., The Goonies, and Gremlins. The House with a Clock in Its Walls wants you to briefly reminisce when you see the opening and mentally nest their new offering among the old favorites. It will never achieve the classic status of the early Amblin films. However, the new offering does fit in. An outsider confronts the unfamiliar and discovers he is stronger than he knew. Nostalgic yet? This is not for the little ones. It has horror elements which will scare the too young. I saw Gremlins too early, and to this day, I look at them differently than you do. However, 8 and older should be good to go. Based on the first installment from the early 70s of an eventual 12-book series for young adults by John Bellairs, Universal picked an odd choice to transform the book's magical realism for the screen, Eli Roth. Roth is infamous for mid-2000s torture porn. He directed the Hostel films, movies which were more a dare for audiences to squirm through than quality cinema. Lately, Roth remade Death Wish with Bruce Willis, which was more firearm fetish than revenge fantasy. However, Roth exceeds expectations. He keeps the boat steady and doesn't let the more macabre elements overwhelm the atmosphere, at least until the climax starts to run away from him. Adapted for the screen by Eric Kripke, creator of TV Supernatural, he mines similar territory for young Louis Barnevelt, played by Owen Vaccaro, as he did on his show. Louis is a recent orphan, getting to know a new town, trying to make new friends, understand his new guardian, and experimenting with strange superpowers he was oblivious to just a day ago. Louis is a stranger in a strange land. The Goonies were suburban strangers to a cavernous underground full of booby traps and a pirate ship. Marty McFly was a denim rock and roll stranger to conservative 1955. Like his older cousins, Lewis's experiences are both funny and tinged with some scares at the same time. The town Lewis lands in is New Zebedee, Michigan. It has a movie marquee advertising the latest monster movie, a town square meant to invite and encourage socializing, and an imposing clock tower, which would be right out of Back to the Future. Lewis has come to live with his oldest living relative, Uncle Jonathan, played by Jack Black. Uncle Jonathan is eccentric. He lives alone in a gargantuan turn-of-the-century house stuffed full of clocks, books, and odd trinkets, wears a kimono and a fez, and lights jack-o'-lanterns in front of his house year-round. Jonathan is nice enough and welcomes Lewis with open arms, but this bachelor's clearly not used to children. There are no bedtime rules, eating rules, or behavior rules. Just don't open the locked cabinet in the library. I wonder if somebody will open that cabinet. While Lewis steadily adapts to the creepy and oddly noisy at night house, he must also endure being the school's new kid. Picked last for the basketball game, even after the polio kid, Lewis encounters a boy who looks like he could become a true friend. Jock and all-around popular kid, Tarby Corrigan, played by Sonny Suljic. Lewis is so desperate to earn Tarby's friendship, he may be willing to even break Uncle Jonathan's only rule. The other presence in Lewis's new life is Mrs. Zimmerman, played by Kate Blanchett. The always purple-clad Mrs. Zimmerman is Uncle Jonathan's next-door neighbor and good friend, the kind of friend more likely to zing you with a biting insult and bust your chops than say good morning. Uncle Jonathan, Mrs. Zimmerman, and Lewis are each oddballs in their own way, the film's method of declaring, "Celebrate your individuality." If the group thinks you're weird and doesn't like you, it's their fault for not seeing the real you. gurgling underneath the more pleasant be yourself and families can come in all shapes and sizes themes is a weightier message about responding to incomprehensible tragedy. The script opts not to dive all the way down into the deep end here. This is a family film, remember. But after you lose someone close to you or experience the horrors of war, you can either choose to move forward with your life or escape back to the past and wish for happier times. The film's eventual villain and his retreat and undo philosophy propel the story into far more intriguing territory. Kripke and Roth inject poop jokes to keep the younger folks laughing, but the parents will yearn for more of the story's juicy temporal implications. Spielberg says, "Kids love to be scared. As a parent, I do my best to shield my son from watching scary things." But Spielberg has a point. There are times we need to let the thrills through and see what happens. And if your child is ready, The House with a Clock in Its Walls may be a worthy starting point. That is why I give The House with a Clock in Its Walls 3 out of 4 stars.
The House with a Clock in Its Walls is rated PG, now playing at AMC Sundial 20, Cobb Tyrone Luxury 10, Regal Park Place Stadium 16, The Studio Movie Grill in Seminole, Regal Largo Mall 8, AMC West Shore 14, Cinebistro in Hyde Park, and AMC Classic Centro Ybor 10.
RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell.com.